Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia, here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. Our thoughts and prayers continue to go out to everyone along the Gulf Coast and everyone now dealing with Hurricane Rita. Our show is a show about business, and on today's show, we'll be asking you how your business is doing. But we begin this week's show by talking poverty. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, there's been a lot of talk about poverty in America. Here to provide some additional perspective is Fool Radio Economics contributor Charlie Whelan. He joins us from the NPR Bureau in Chicago. Charlie Whelan, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
It's always great to be with you.
Charlie, my producer tells me that you want to kick things off by giving me a quiz. Now, I'm a little bit insecure about that because I'm used to asking the questions, and I always know the answers because I have the page in front of me. But in this case, I have nothing. You're quizzing me?
I am quizzing you. I'm going to give you a clue to start off with, or at least to benchmark your answers. And
okay.
I will tell you that the nationwide unemployment rate for the United States in August was 4.9%. So that's probably what folks have been reading in the newspaper, 4.9% inflation, or unemployment, roughly 5%. My quiz to you, and I think this is where we're going to go with the segment, is what is the unemployment rate for those who have less than a high school diploma?
Okay, so with the nationwide average 4.9%, I'm going to guess that people without a high school diploma are less employed than the average person, so I'm going to guess that their unemployment rate would be 6.5%.
You're on the low side. The unemployment rate for folks with less than a high school diploma is almost 8%. It's 7.6%, so no great surprise there. It's higher than average. But here's where I think it gets really interesting. Tell me what the unemployment rate is for folks with a college degree.
So these are people who've actually finished college in contrast to who we just talked about.
Correct. These are folks who have finished college. So we've got the benchmark national unemployment rate of roughly 5%. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it is for folks who have finished college.
So I'm going to guess that it is 4.3%.
It is 2.1%. And I think this is a really powerful trend, not just in the wake of Katrina, where the folks who started as the best off are going to finish the best off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the most important trend we're going to see going forward. People sometimes talk about how the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. I think that's actually an inaccurate description of what's going on. I think the accurate description is that the educated are doing better than ever before. Those folks who don't have the skills are going to suffer disproportionately. It's the most important labor trend that we've seen probably over the last 10 or 15 years, and it will be magnified going forward as people start dealing with outsourcing, technology replacing jobs, and so on.
Okay, Charlie, I think I can't really give myself much above a C-plus for my answers to your first two questions. Basically, the variance was larger than I thought. Those who are undereducated have a higher unemployment rate than I thought, and those with a college degree, like I think you and me, have a much lower unemployment rate than I was estimating. Do you have any more questions for me?
I do, and again, I will give you some baseline information. So if you look at inflation-adjusted figures, so taking price changes out of the equation,
mm-hmm.
The per capita income in the United States between 1979 and 2003 went up about 38%. So on average, in real purchasing power, we're doing a lot better than we did in 1979. That's more purchasing power when you go out and buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we're going to get a lesson both in what's going on, secular shifts in the labor market, but also how to manipulate statistics. Because my question is for you, once we move past averages, and you disaggregate that into different education levels,
okay,
how have different groups done? So I will tell you that college graduates between 1979 and 2002 saw their weekly wages, so not exactly the same as income because it doesn't include capital gains and rents and things like that, saw their wages increase 20% in real terms between 1979 and 2002. What happened to weekly wages for those workers with full-time workers with less than a high school degree?
You're telling me that per capita buying power in effect went up 38%, but that income over that time only went up 20% for college-educated people?
Weekly wages. So in addition, if you're college-educated, you're also more likely to own stocks, to own real estate that's throwing off added income.
Uh-huh.
So your total income is going to be your wages plus your other basically gains from capital, which would account for more. So tell me what happened to those folks with less than a high school education, looking only at wages, mm-hmm. though among that group they're probably less likely to have, mm-hmm. to have outside income from capital as well.
Just for the fun of it, I'm going to guess 0%. It's just flat.
If only they were so lucky. And this is a figure I had to go back to the Bureau of Labor Statistics webpage over and over again to make sure this is right. And it is right because they actually write it up in their analysis. The real wages, so purchasing power, for folks with less than a high school degree fell 27% for men. For women, actually, it was a less significant drop. It fell for about 7% for women. But for men with less than a high school diploma, their real wages between 79 and 2002 fell 27%. And I think that is a fascinating snapshot of this larger labor trend.
So, Charlie, you've done a good job presenting some pretty interesting data. I know you're also a policy hound just in general. Do any of these suggest policy to you, or what is your overall takeaway beyond the obvious, gosh, make sure you finish high school?
Well, I think there are a couple things. One is, depending on your ideology, is there going to be a short-term fix or not? And so are we going to try and patch things together by raising the minimum wage or do other things that take people whose skills are not necessarily in demand as they were before and make them better off, something like the earned income tax credit? So you go out, you're making less than you were before. We're going to supplement that out of the federal income tax system and make you better off without necessarily changing the demand for your services. But then there's the separate piece, which is really a completely different and perhaps complementary approach, which is we're going to make a really big effort to try and make your earning power better by giving you supplies that are in greater demand. They're really different approaches. You can do both, but one's a short-term fix. The other is a long-term solution. And as trite as it sounds, that really is about getting back to education, not only having people finish high school, but making that high school diploma worth more in a world in which we're moving to phone trees, automated teller machines, attendant-free parking lots, auto checkouts, and the like. Because, you know, the rule of thumb now is if a computer can do your job or somebody in rural China can do your job, pretty soon they will be.
Charlie Whelan is the author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you didn't go back to school this year, you're really not groovy. Maybe you feel that school is a drag, it just don't move you. But did you ever think about how square you look standing in an employment line because school didn't interest you? You really hard to think about it. Without an education, you could only be a tramp, blowguy and shoe.